shepherds, guide with your own eyes.
God calls men and women for his purpose. Some to stay, some to go across the sea, to carry his precious word to a soul somewhere in darkness. This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. There've been times when I've looked around in wonder, and I've asked the Lord why things turn the way they do. I live in a realm of time, and I see only the present. But with the mind of Christ, I know it's working for my good. And his ways are so far above our ways. And his love, he proved on Calvary.
Calvary.
And every move he makes, it's all because he loves me. This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. And in eternity, when we see all things clearly, then we'll say to him, Lord, you made no mistake. Because he loves me. This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. This is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you.
Great job, girls. Amen. Brother Treiber is an amazing man. Brother Treiber is so humble. And no matter who you are, if you meet him, he'll care about you. I met him, just shook his hand when I was a brand new saved teenager at the second annual Pastors and Workers Conference in Santa Clara, California. That was a long time ago. How long ago was that? Long time, man. And I was a brand new convert that still had long hair, back when I had hair. And it was a long time ago, and just a young man then, just had the greatest preachers from around the nation and an amazing church. I remember seeing the compassion of that church, how much they love people, how much they love their pastor, and it's a soul-winning church and a godly church, and there's a great spirit about the church, and it's because Brother Treiber has an exciting spirit. He's excited about serving God. It's not a burden to him. He loves the ministry. And he loves people, and most of you know him. If you know him, you know what a blessing, what an honor it is for us to have him. And we praise the Lord that he is here. And I want to give him a big welcome. And Brother Treiber, come on up, and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Let's be seated so we can get after this. Thank you. One, two, three, sit. Good. Thank you. Take your Bibles tonight. Oh, I got you down good. Thank you. That's great. Your obedient crowd. My first message I'm preaching, because I've got two with me, right, ready to go. And, man, I've been battling both of them, but I I believe we'll stay with one tonight. This is such an honor for me, such a delight. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how much a church averages in attendance when I'll come to a meeting. Whatever, if God gives me the opportunity to go, I'm going to go. And I didn't know it was in a, quote, daycare. If this is a daycare, man, this is a great church building, I tell you. And all you preachers, I appreciate you so much. I love you. This region of our country, like so many regions, we need this so badly. We need your church. And I want to just thank you for all that you mean. Now, to me personally, many of you, I think, well, you were in church Sunday. And then Brother Scott was in Portland area, Oregon. How many were in that meeting this week? Good night. Monday, Tuesday, then Wednesday church, and now Thursday. All right. Because of all that, we'll let you take off this Sunday. You don't have to go to church this Sunday. And you don't have to tithe for 2 weeks either. Just stop the tithing. Now, I would watch out for lightning bolts, but other than that, that's okay. My goodness. You folks are either real bad that you need a lot of preaching, or you don't need preaching, you're just convinced you do. So I don't know what the case is, but great crowd. I like the acoustics in here, and I just love to hear you sing. That pianist, well, brother, you did a great job on that. That was just great. I loved it. And I'm just so proud of you. Thank you for the offering for the college, and Brother Dennis and Emily Gochauer here, they're graduates. Brother David Cradle's a graduate. We have any other graduates here tonight? We're glad to have you here this evening. And I love our college. I just love it. And I'm not suggesting we're the only one. I would suggest that you find out from your pastor what one he wants would support. You know, before we had a college, I sent all of our students, I think for 20 years, we were the number one student body out of our church at Hiles Anderson College. I did not want my kids in 2 and 3 and 4 different other colleges for my ministry. Now, maybe that's right for yours, but I wanted them all predominantly in one to keep continuity in our church. A young girl was on our campus yesterday, and her dad, he's a full-time Christian servant, he's a good man. And he said, I want my daughter to really consider Golden State. And I said, no, but your sister went somewhere else, right? And she said, she did. And I said, maybe you might want to think about where your sister went to school. I think there's something about trying to keep families in the same school. Now, you see, you're going to lose a student there. Now, I understand that, and your pastor would know more. By the way, you sort of could probably put some confidence in your pastor, and he'll give you direction, he'll give you guidance. And I hope that you'll understand that. The pastor will know what I think he believes is good for your church, for the youth group, for your ministry. And so you think about that. Well, I thought it was going to be cold here. I was in the Midwest last week. We were getting ready to land. They said, it is 0 degrees outside. I said, I forgot my overcoat. I forgot that overcoat. And then in the winter, a lot of times when I go out cold, I wear these toe warmer things. You know what I'm talking about when you go skiing? And I found out, man, they work so great. You get the half ones, you know, just about maybe 3 inches. Those things work great on your toes. They keep your toes warm for about 8 hours. If you go skiing, you always wear those. Well, a fella in our church bought me the foot-long ones. They just slip right in the, well, let me just show you right here. They slip right in there like that, you see, and those things are a heater. And then after a few hours, they get hard, maybe about 5 or 6, you throw them away. They're great. They're wonderful. Man, I tell you what, I thought I'm coming up here, so I'm going to put them in. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was going over to Nevada, and they said it was below zero, so I took them with me. And I just got on a plane. Now, the long ones like that stink. They're terrible. Now, after your feet are in them, when you open up that thing, they just stink. The little toe ones don't stink, but the foot long, they just smell. I got on a Southwest flight, and I always sit behind the wing on the left-hand side, about 3 rows back. Nobody was on the plane around me. I sat down. They put those things on. And this guy got on the plane in front of me, big old belly, you know, and a T-shirt came up to about right here, you know. And with his wife, and they were walking in, wife or girlfriend, I don't know what she was. And there was a guy back over here, about maybe on the other side of the plane, 3-4 rows back. I just put those things in, and they did stink. You know, they smell. They have an immediate odor they have to them. And the guy, I think he may have been drunk. I'm not sure, but there he is with that T-shirt, you know, big old belly out. He goes, "Oh, it stinks back here." And I thought, it's me. You know, sort of like you people that take garlic and you don't think we ever smell it. We smell it, right? We smell it, trust me. And he said, "It stinks back here." And the guy on the other side, several rows back, goes, "I smell it too." And I said, "You know, I smell it too." And he says, "It must be the restroom. It must be." He said, "It must be backed up." I said, "Well, it's something like that." Oh, my goodness. So don't come forward tonight. My feet stink, all right? But I had such a good time with that. Just laugh. If you can't laugh at some things in life, you're going to be miserable, because there's too much that's depressing. And you have to laugh at a few things. I've had a good laugh this week. On one day this week, I was watching one of my grandsons. He's 5, Titus. And you have to know him. He's just a blonde-headed little guy. He's just he's really smart, but he's just in another planet. We call it, once in a while, he lives in Titusville. And he's just zoned out there, you know. And I was driving his dad's van. He was in the back seat, and we were going about 3 or 4 miles, and all of a sudden he says, "Papa," he said, "I think a song's coming on me right now." Now, you stop and think of a 5-year-old saying something like that. "I think a song's coming on me right now." I told that to my wife. She said, "He's hanging around you too much. That's some sounds like something you would say." And if you can't, look, we're in the journey of life. And there's a lot of difficulties you're facing. And the truth of the matter is, you don't know. I might just be tonight facing the biggest trial and moment of my life. I'd never tell you about it. I figured out you just keep smiling. People either think that you're happy or you're up to something. And so I don't know. I don't want to have my life bring heartache to people. And so if I have a problem, it's not. Why should I care? If the sun doesn't shine, Jesus is mine all of the time. I'm on the winning side, not the losing side. And victory in Jesus. These are great days to serve the Lord and praise God for His goodness. One more thing before I preach tonight. As I travel the nation this year, God's put something on my heart, a huge burden to me. And I just want to say a word. There's so many churches represented here. I wonder if you ladies, I'm talking to the ladies right now. So, oh boy, he's going to talk to us about convictions and standards and holiness. Well, if you want me to, I will. You don't want me to, I can tell that right now. I want to talk to you about the pastor's wife. In 2010, could you ladies of your church, could you just take your pastor's wife and spoil her? And love her, and be kind to her. Always say something to her. Do things for her. You know, I don't know how much it costs to get the preacher's shirts laundered. And ladies, I don't think it'd be appropriate for you to give the pastor money so get your shirts laundered. But you might help a pastor's wife out. When we had kids in our home, you know, we had the old cloth diapers, and we had those. And then toward the last one, I think they had those Pampers, and from time to time, every week, some lady in our church would drop off a box of Pampers. That's a lot of money, and that's a lot of effort. The lady stopped, but we had a lady in our church that probably for 10 years would every Sunday, my wife was at the piano, she'd always bring her some roses and some flowers from the florist every week. You have a pastor's wife, you better love her while you have her. I stood last week in Iowa at Diane Brown's funeral service. Diane and I are 16 days apart. Her daughter married my son. They're expecting a baby, Brother Tim and Rebecca. Dr. Larry Brown's wife in Marion, Iowa. They've been there 36 years. And I watched that church. She got cancer, and then it went away, and it came back like a storm, attacked her brain and spine. My son would call me. They were there for the last few days, and he said, "Dad, this is the most awful thing I've ever seen." Just watching her ebb away, and she's in a coma now and just laying in her bed. It's so awful. She was such a good pastor's wife, just such a good lady, served that church. And as she lay in that coffin, I looked at her. That church will never, ever have another opportunity. Never again. Never again to say thank you. It's over. And who knows what his ministry is, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, you need a pastor's wife. My church, good night. If God forbid the Lord take my wife, what would I do? That church has to have a pastor's wife. It just has to. So they'd probably have to call a different pastor. Now, if you have a pastor's wife, you love her while you have the opportunity. So, well, I'll tell you what, if I was a pastor, I would do something different. Then, sir, why don't you go get married and be a pastor's wife? All right, you know, quit telling everybody else what to do. Why don't you love the pastor's wife? Our kids, I get to preaching. I like this building. There's no clock in here. I see the sun coming up. But our church was so good to our kids. I'm not talking about they gave them things and all that. They're just nice to our kids. Our church, when we had kids, of course, they always welcomed into the church the first day in the nursery, you know, Tiffany Treber, and they had a big sign, and Tim Treber and Tabitha Treber, all T's. If we had one more, we'd have called it the end. Our kids came. One time, man still here, is a faithful member. I saw him on the balcony last night. Good man. One time, he said, "You know, Pastor, your son was naughty in the children's program Wednesday night during church. He was a little bit naughty." He goes, "Of course, all the boys were naughty tonight. But what I did, I put your son in the corner." I said, "Didn't you say all the boys were naughty?" He goes, "I did. But I wanted it to be an example. Because I thought if the preacher's kid would get disciplined, it would help the rest of them." I said, "Sir, look at me, please. As your pastor, I love you to death. You're a great man. You'd never be rude to my kids. But you are wrong. Just because he's my kid, he should not have more discipline." That man had an opportunity to respond with our... He looked at me and goes, "You know what, Pastor? I was wrong tonight." He said, I was wrong. I shouldn't have singled him out. I explained it to him. He goes, "You're right." And he's been here all these years. But my people were always kind to our kids. They never expected them to be better and... You know, hey, I expected my kids to get in trouble. I mean, if it was just I was their parent, but they had their mother too, you see? This is not being taped, is it? Probably just the other way. It is the other way around. But our church loved them. It's an amazing thing. All of our kids now serve God full-time and their mates and our grandkids. And it's just a wonderful thing. Did I tell you we have two more grandkids coming? I mean, it's hard to believe. Most people still put me at, when they say, we have a college, are you a student? I'm not a student in the college. I know I look like I could be, but I'm the chancellor of the college. But we have five and two more on the way. One just a couple weeks away here, maybe next month. And then one right, Brother Tim, right during youth conference. I said, "Son, I hope you understand. You are not missing youth conference, all right?" So, but I guess if they have a baby, they will. I'm hoping they, you know, he sent me a text this week and said, "Dad, the Treber name lives on." And he found out it was a boy. I'm hoping they don't name him Jack. Now, I pay people. In our church, we have so many kids that are Jack, or their middle name is Jack or Jackson. And I pay him $100 for the first name and $50 for the second name, and Jackson's $50 too. And I've got a marriage. One of our people named their son Jack Allen Treber Blankenship. That's his legal name. My name, Jack Allen Treber, and then he put his last name in. And that's crazy. That cost me a lot of money, that one. But I don't know about it. I said, I think he needs his own identity. Let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and I will take my watch off, and I will put it there so I can try to keep you, get you out on a good time. Isaiah chapter 3. I've been thinking all day and all this since I've been coming. I've been planning on preaching from the book of Zechariah, second to the last book in the Old Testament on the subject of compassion. And even when you introduced me, you said that. I'm wondering if I missed it here. Sometimes, you know, I try to listen if a pastor says something, and I've been thinking of that. I said, Lord, are you still trying to talk to me about that? So I'll preach this for a couple hours. If this doesn't work, we'll just stretch, get another cup of coffee, and we'll get back to another message. You may want the other one. The other one has notes. This one has no notes. So we'll find out if, you know, sometimes a no-note message takes longer. Sometimes they go shorter because you run out of things to say. So we'll find out. Thank you, church members, for being here. And thank you, pastors and full-time workers. And thank you, ladies, for what you're going to do. You know, you preachers' wives, I wish you could have seen that funeral last week. I'm going to guess, I know there were 13 states represented, preachers everywhere, and I guess 150 to 200 floral arrangements everywhere. And it's just, you know, Washington, Iowa is 5,000 people in that little town. And it's just, they bought years ago an old Presbyterian church on the town square. And my heart was just so broken as I watched that husband and his 7 kids. Oh, it's such a sad thing. You know, my father-in-law's pastored for 57 years, the same church. And when he was 45 years of old age, his wife died. Left him 8 kids. You know, that's been now, this October, that's going to be 40 years ago. And that church never recovered. It just never, he's a great man of God, and it's a great church, and it's a large church in Illinois. It's an amazing church. Still pastoring, 85 years of age, preaching fiery. But you've got to love that pastor's wife, ladies, while you have her. Get your kids to love her. Write her notes. And don't do things hoping that she'll invite you. A lady quit a church not long ago. She says, because I want to be your best friend. You can't. I hear that everywhere I go, so it's probably happened here too. Pastor's wife doesn't have time to be, my wife's so busy. I'll get going, but we're having a good time right now. You have nowhere to go. I don't have a flight till tomorrow morning. My wife, a college girl, called her the other day and said, Miss Treber, I need to talk to you about something. And my wife said, honey, I want to talk to you. But if you're not going to listen to me, I don't have the time. Will you listen to me? And you know what? That's some wisdom right there. And I hope that you'll remember that. Well, we're ready, preacher.
Good.
Girls, you did a good job. Hey. Abigail, you don't need all that hair. My goodness. Will you cut a little bit off? Pastor will take about 6 inches because he doesn't have anything. I'll take about an inch. That's all I need, about an inch, all right? And I'll just sort of weave it in there. Let's stand together, please. Isaiah 6. Excuse me, 3, and I'll start in verse 24 through 26. Isaiah 75, I'm sorry. I'm just joking you there. Isaiah 3:3. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stink. I just thought of that. That smells like, that's my feet right there. That's my message. Keeping your toes warm for God. That'd be a good message. Soul winning. This is a tribulation text. It's a tribulation. Let's not forget it. It should come to pass, and instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well-set hair, pastor. A lot of messages here, aren't there? Instead of a stomacher was that which was like a belt that held all the clothing together, and girding a sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Then this text, verse 25, is referring over to Revelation 6. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. It will take me just a few moments to explain what I want to the text and our thought, and then a brief message. Father, I love you tonight. I'm so grateful that you would take someone like me and not only save me, but use me for your glory. I look back over my life, I'm just so amazed. I know more than these people about my shortcomings. But your mercy has been so good to me. And I thank you for this great pastor and his wife and family, 6 beautiful children. Thank you for this great church and the preachers that are here, churches represented. I pray your blessing on these dear, dear people. Now, all of them have had a busy week. And so may I not waste their time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is very obviously a tribulation text. In fact, if you'll go back to chapter 3, the beginning of it, it tells us in verse 4 what's going to be taking place. I will give children to be their prince, and babes shall rule over them. Verse 5 tells you the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. Verse number 9 speaks of the perversion of the day. The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, they have rewarded evil unto themselves. I saw the man in front of me reading the paper today and said, high military official demands that we get rid of don't ask, don't tell. He says, time to allow all homosexuality and lesbianism into the military system. Well, that is tribulation time. And the show of their countenance. And kids ruling the homes. Kids in charge. And mom and dad have a police officer, one of the police officers in my church. He is in the city of Palo Alto, not East Palo Alto, but Palo Alto. It's right there up against Stanford University, multi-million-dollar old homes and beautiful homes and just servants and nannies and you name it, just they have it. And he said that on a regular basis every week, parents will bring their 3rd grade, 5th grade, 8th grade, 10th grade child to the police station and say, tell him to obey me. He will not obey. And the policeman said, what are we supposed to do? They'll call 911 and say, get to my house immediately. They'll get there and they said, my 4th grade son, my 4th grade daughter will not obey me. And they called the police out to get them to try to manage the kids. And the Bible says in that last day, in that tribulation, that's the next event that God's prophetic calendar is the trump of God shall sound. We're getting out of here, friend. We're going home. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. It may be today that Jesus will come. I will go home. And it may be today. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be soon. And it just may be today. And so we have this text before us, and the text is speaking about that we've been raptured, and now there's a tribulation time. 7 years. 7 years. The economy will be wrecked and ruined in its entirety. There'll be bloodshed. Revelation chapter 6. And men, don't speak about women being slaughtered. Men will be slaughtered. And that's why it ties into this text. There'll be a shortage of men. There'll be famine. There'll be pollution in the waters. Wormwood, the star, will explode and come and contaminate the earth. 7 years of great tribulation. And man will have the beast number 666, forehead on his hand. He will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. There'll be great torment to those who receive not the mark and who do not bow down to the false prophet and the beast. That's why they'll be martyred. The Bible says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude of all nations and people and kindreds and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. They cried out, saying, who are these? And whence came they? These are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There will be people beheaded for the name of Christ and slaughtered and martyred for the cause of Christ. I believe if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, and I'm not necessarily advising you to get one, but I just have one because my sister gave me one 40 years ago when I went to college, and I've just always used one. My Scofield Bible indicates this is last days, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I believe Mr. Scofield mixed his markings up when you get to chapter 4. Chapter 4, he mentions that this is the vision of the future kingdom. I think in my estimation, he's smarter than I was, he missed his marking by one verse. I believe chapter 4, verse 1, continues with chapter 3, verse 24, 25, and 26. Particularly verse 25 says this, the men shall fall by the sword and the mighty in war. And because of that, chapter 4, verse 1, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Now, by the way, verse 2 is very obviously kingdom age, because verse 2 says, in that day shall the branch, that's Jesus, of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth. Oh, things have changed in verse 2. And may I say, Mr. Scofield calls it future kingdom. New evangelicals use the word kingdom all the time. And they'll say things like this. What are you doing? Talking about this day. What are you doing for the kingdom? We are not doing anything for the kingdom. This is not kingdom age. This is church age, not kingdom age. And new evangelicals take that term and they have brought it. Now, we brought it in our fundamental Baptist circles. Stop taking new evangelical books and just repackage them into fundamentalism. That's why preachers ought to stay away from new evangelical material. For we cannot but help speak the things we've seen and heard. Stay. You say, there's nothing to read. Then just read the Bible. Just read the Word of God. Read great volumes of the Bible. Great portions of the. I'm always on a campaign to get through the Bible, and it's such a big help to me. And I've been telling my people, I want you to get the Bible. One of my young men in our church, single man and adults, he said, you know, Pastor, on the 20th of this month, he finished his Bible, and he said, it's exactly true what you said. Now, I believe in studying the Bible. I believe in all that, and you ought to study the Bible. I'm already, and this time around now, I finished the Bible this year already. Now I'm back, I'm studying a different way. But I said, volume reading, you'll get much more out of volume reading. He took that and he said, you know, Pastor, I read entire one setting. I just sat down and I read the book of Genesis. And every book of the Bible I read in one setting. He said, I heard you. You helped me the day I was born. I think he's 28. He said, I want to tell you something. The Bible's never been more alive to me. It works what you said. It works. You get in volumes of the Bible, you put it together, and you see it, how God fits it all together. Read the Word of God. We know all about all these other programs and TV and all these video games. How about the Bible? This book can keep you from sin, or sin can keep you from this Bible. Get in the Word of God. I say that, and here we are, the Bible says, and we're getting close to our text, which is verse 1, and in that day, then that tribulation day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Can you imagine it, what's taking place? There's a man shortage. There's a shortage of men. And women, Eastern custom, wanted a man's name. Why? To take away their shame. Ladies, if you're here and you're a single adult lady today, there's no shame being single. There's no shame. But in Eastern custom, there was a shame. And a woman did not want to have her own name. She wanted her name attached to a man. By the way, that's what the verse says. And seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Why? To take away our reproach. We don't want just our name. We want your name. I want to speak to you for these few moments. We want your name. You say, what in the world are you talking about? These ladies said, we want your name. Now we're going to leave you alone, and you leave us alone. Just give me your name. Just give me your name. In fact, they said, here's what we'll do. We will eat our own bread. If we can get your name, we won't even ask you for provision. We just want your name. And by the way, we won't even ask you to give us garments and clothing. We just want your name. I'm blessed. My grandparents were not born in America, but I was. And I have the name American. But with the name America and American comes some responsibility. With that name, I have duties to perform. Taxes, though I don't like them. Prayer for the president. Prayer for the governors. Prayer for the senators. God's word commands me to pray. Say, I don't like them. You may not like them, but responsibility comes with the name American. Responsibility. Some folks want the name and they don't want to pay the taxes. Some people want the name, but they don't want the military. Well, I'm going to be a draft dodger. Go ahead and be a draft dodger. Run for president. You can be president. There's some responsibility with the name. Protect this country. Love this country. Pray for this country. Honor this country. Thank God for this country. And ladies and gentlemen, we live in a day where we say, look, I want to live here, but buzz off. I don't want your rules. I don't want anything. I live here now. Let me do my own thing. No, there comes rules with being an American. I have... On 9/11 weekend in my church, please hear me. 9/11 weekend in my church, I said, if you're a first generation person from another country, I don't want all the just a representative. Would you please stand to your feet? I had 68 countries representing hundreds and thousands of people. Let me tell you something I tell my people all the time, and they're the ones from other countries, the ones that give me the most amens. You come to America as my forefathers did. But don't run your flag up and down our streets. That was real weak. Don't bring a flag from Mexico up and down the streets of our city. This is America. And by the way, we tell our Bible college students, you go to Fiji, you go to Hong Kong, you go to Australia, you go to these countries as a missionary, don't you run the American flag. I'm sorry, Pastor. Don't you run the American flag up and down the streets either. That's Australia. That's Tahiti. That's Cuba. That's Russia. They have the right to have their country. And ladies and gentlemen, this is America. Douglas MacArthur spoke that famous message, I am American. Not American hyphen. Our Filipino preacher, pastor, wrote a book on it. He preached it in our place. I love the message. He's a Filipino, but he says, I'm an American. Not Filipino-American. I'm an American. Not American-Filipino. I'm an American. So, well, I'm from this country. Then go back there. We'll help you get there. That goes for my family, too. This is America. And we're trying to cater to every wind and every doctrine and every philosophy. And so we have this special day and that special day. Hey, keep bringing your Chinese food. We like it. Keep bringing your burritos. We like it. Keep bringing your German. We like it. But it is America. It's America. Getting a little quiet in here. I'll tell you, at my church with all the different nationalities, I'd get a better amen there. I'll guarantee it. You know why, Pastor? They believe it. They believe it. This is America. And with America comes responsibility. That's why we don't believe in sneaking in over. And by the way, America's so bad, why are they trying to get in any way they can? And I don't blame them either. I'd try to sneak in too. Amen. It's America. Oh, I'm having a good time tonight. It's feeling like it may have been the right message to preach. The other one's a little too kumbaya-ish tonight. I mean, I maybe never get invited back, so I might as well just dump the load off on you tonight. Hey, we want your name American. Well, then pay your taxes. Hey, we want your name American. Then obey the rules of the road. I tell our Vietnamese people, that means don't drive on the sidewalk. You know what? I had such a good time with those folks. Some folks are just way too temperamental about things, you know. We were having a deacons meeting. My deacons are big. We got a lot of deacons. And we were meeting, and we had some businessmen had to come, unsaved businessmen, but had to come about a piece of property that we have and talking to us about our other property. And they were there, and I said, now, one of the Indian men on my deacon, he had a question. Godly man. Oh, my goodness. 4 o'clock every morning, he's up and praying, and his wife praying. They love me to death. Love my wife and family. Just a godly man. And he asked a question, and I forget what. He couldn't understand the question. And I started picking on the Indian fella, whatever it was. I forget how it was. And those two men looked like, oh, no, you're going to have a lawsuit here. I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. He's our friend. Doesn't speak English very well, but he's our friend, you know. Now, wait a minute. I would never be rude to someone. I would never want to be rude to somebody. But we laugh together. We're too temperamental. Oh, I'm offended. I think I'll sue you. I got quiet on that one there, too. I better go to another point. Hey, we want your name. There's responsibility with the name. I think of that name, Christian. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm reading my Bible, believing each word. Here, listen to this. My past is forgiven. Praise God for that. From sin I'm set free. A mansion in heaven, it's waiting for me. I'm a Christian. I took that name. I took that name 53 years ago. Oh, I'll never forget that night in that church where I sat on, get mixed up on the building here, be on this side of the building over here. those green wooden folding chairs. That invitation song was being... There's cookies in here, Pastor. Man. Pass them around. You want some cookies while I'm preaching here? Go with it. There's cookies in the pulpit. What are you doing? I'm trying to preach and keep... And I look down here, there's cookies. My anorexic friend over here. No, brother. Tanya, can he have some... Could he have one cookie? Look at the guy. He's withering away to nothing, man. Just grab one of those babies right there. They're my cookies. Right? Go ahead, fellas. Take one there, okay? How about your dad back here? Yeah, your dad wants one too. How about the See's candy lady? I'm not giving you one. You didn't bring any candy tonight. God bless you. I hope you get a toothache tonight before you go home. You work at See's and you didn't bring any candy? All right, Tanya, we're going to put those right there by you to torment you. All right? Don't touch those cookies. No, they're not going over your way. You didn't remind me. I'm back here preaching. What else? Hey, there's money in here. Look at this. I'm loving this pulpit, man. This is a great pulpit. See, if you guys would have sat in the front of the auditorium, you could have had a cookie here. But, hey, I'm telling you, I took that name 53 years ago, Christian. I'm telling you, I felt like the whole world was on my shoulders. I was a sinner. You know, as a young boy growing up, I'm so ashamed. I had such an awful temper. And by the way, even after I got saved, just an awful temper. I knew you could never hit a girl. I had two sisters, Judy, and I had a twin sister. My name's Jack. Why would parents do that to me? They named her Jill. It's very cute. I heard that my whole life. I don't even like my sister. I love her. I get so mad at those girls sometimes. I remember one time I could never hit them or slap them. One time I got so mad. I took that fist. I wanted to hit my sister. She said, you weren't a very good... No, I wasn't a good Christian. I was mad. I had a temper. Took my fist, I hit the door of my bedroom. But the door wasn't a very good door. And my hand not only went through the first, but it went out the other side. I talked to my sisters. I said, okay, now here's the thing. Don't tell mom and dad. And I put today you'd call a poster. It wasn't a poster, but I put a sign on my door, covered it all up. And you know, it's a wonderful thing about sin. You can cover your sin, and nobody finds out. I went to Bible college, and they didn't know. And then they decided to move. I'm in Bible college. My dad calls me. He said, son, there's a hole in the door. You see, it always hunts you down, doesn't it? Be sure your sin will. Yeah, you've been there too, haven't you? I can tell. Yeah. Oh, I have this temper. And you know, I probably still have a very violent temper. I've never lost my temper with my church, my deacons. I've never been unkind. I've not lost my temper with our neighbors. I've not lost my temper with my wife or kids or grandkids. Say, well, maybe you don't have one anymore. Oh, I probably still do. Well, on my prayer list, that's one of the very top things alphabetically. Lord, help me with my anger today. Because I still probably have it there. I've got the old flesh. Although when God saved me, he just pulled the weight of sin off my sorry soul. But can I tell you something? With Christian comes some responsibility. Amen. It's to worship Him. It's to honor Him. It's to love Him. It's to magnify Him. There's responsibility with that name. I was sitting on the plane next to a fellow today from this area, but he's entire life from Dallas. We were talking about the Lord, and he gave me a good testimony of salvation. And then the stewardess came by and he says, yes, I'll have, and he ordered liquor. Well, something's wrong. Something's wrong Because God says, don't even look at it, don't touch it, don't give it to your neighbor. There's responsibility with the name Christian. You see, three times the Supreme Court has said, this is a Christian nation. Then let's act like it. It's a Christian nation. If we are built off Christianity, then let us act like we are Christians. There's a responsibility with the name American. There's a responsibility with the name Christian. Can I tell you what took place for me 1972, 37 plus years ago? I got another name. It's called husband. Husband. Latin word, H-U-S, house, B-A-N-D. The man bands the house together. He doesn't destroy the house. He doesn't abandon the house. He doesn't walk out from the kids. Just as I'm dealing with a young man, 28, he goes, I've got four kids. I'm just tired of being married now. And he walked out. No, sorry, sir. You are a husband. There's responsibility with that name. What is? Provide for your home. So, I can't work. I can't find work. Well, go find work. I know it's hard. I got 30-something people unemployed in my church right now, and many others that are on the verge, and many that are suffering financially. I understand all that. But there's responsibility. If you're going to band the house together, read the Word of God with your family. Pray. Love your mate. There's responsibility with husband. By the way, is the word wife? If you got the name wife, you chose it. Well, no, he drugged me down the aisle. He made me get married to him. I didn't like him. Now, lady, you chose the name W-I-F-E. Wife. Did I spell that right? Wife. How we doing? You need another cookie, brother? Okay, all right. Need any coffee or anything like that? Can we get it for you? All right. You about ruined my message tonight, brother. You saw those cookies, man, you just start drooling. I saw it coming, my brother. Wife. Wife. Husband. There's responsibility with that. Read the Bible. Ladies, God bless you. I don't even want to say this word. It's a Bible word. It's a harsh, hard word. But the Bible still says submit. What does that word submit mean? It's a military word to rank under. The truth is, dear lady, you're probably smarter than Ralph. You sure look smarter than he. Doesn't mean that you're ignorant. Doesn't mean that you're dumb. It doesn't mean you're second rate. It means that you have chosen God's term to rank under it and follow the word husband, who's the head of the wife. Means he sets a direction. No, fellow, his wife were in my office last week. He said, "Well, she's supposed to obey me. She's supposed to follow." I thought you missed the whole thing, Ralph. Doesn't mean you're to lord over and boss her around and treat her like trash. But the word submit is in there, lady. And the word reverence your husband is in there. And you don't like it, but the word obey is in there. These ladies said, hey, listen, we want your name. We'll eat our own food. We'll wear our own apparel. We won't bug you. We just want your name to remove our reproach. Why is it? And it seems like so many people I deal with that are married want to get out, and so many that are not married want to get in. And these that are not married say, I don't know if I can go on in life. I'm not married. I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. Please. It happens every day of my life, of course, having a college and students and young people. I need a husband. I want a wife. And these guys over here are married and says, I tell you what, I don't know what I was thinking when I married her. And she says, I don't know what, I must have been blind to marry a jerk like that. There he is with his t-shirt up here, belly hanging out, you know. Hey, I want to say, with that name comes responsibility. Oh, I tell you a name, Brother Smith, I like that name, Dad. See, I chose that name. I chose it. Because my wife and I were married a year and no children in two and no children in three and no children in four and no children in five and no children in six and no children. And 1 month before our seventh year of anniversary, God miraculously made my name from husband, not only husband and not only Christian and not only American, but dad. And now I'm a dad for all these years, for 30 some years. It's a wonderful name. Oh, I love that. I love to. My girls have called me on the phone if I'm out of town. Tiffany was driving her car. Her husband watching the kids today, and she was going down the road. I said, "Where are you?" She called me. She said, "Dad, where are you? What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting ready to fly out and preach." She said, "I didn't know you were preaching today. I'll be praying for you tonight." I said, "Where are you going?" She goes, "I'm going to the thrift store." I said, "Man, it's a shame I don't pay you enough money for your husband to give you money." She goes, "No, we love buying stuff at the thrift shop. We love it. We love it." My daughter Tabitha, she called, "Dad, I stopped Tim. He called, if I'm out of town, he'll call me." I stopped by his office, and he said, "Dad, you're going out of town. I'll be praying for you. You need a ride to the airport." I tell you, I love that name, Dad. And you folks that have raised your kids already, like we have, we're still dad and we're still mom, but it went too fast, did it not? I tell you what, we watched three of our grandkids last week, and when I say we did, I preached the first part of the week, and I was out in the town for that funeral for a day or so the next part of the week. We got up in the morning, and the one little guy, he's three. He's got white blonde hair. Oh, he's a beautiful boy. He's a beautiful boy. Just as he's got this smile that you don't see his teeth. Remember, I'll tell my wife, he looks like Sergeant Schultz. Remember on Hogan's Heroes? Some of you are too young for that. He's such a cute guy. He came out in the morning dragging his blanket. He said, "Papa, milk." I said, "You don't take milk. You're 3 years of age." "One in the morning. I like milk, Papa." "All right, I'll go get it." I tell you what, it reminded me of those days when our kids, in the middle of the night, they'd get up. My wife was there snoring away. I'd get out of bed and look at her and say, "Go ahead and sleep on. I'll take care of this." Every night of my life, I was up with those kids. This is not being recorded, right? Make sure she doesn't get this, all right? I want the truth to stay right here in this room, okay? And I'd come back after taking care of our kids, and there she was, snoring away. That's what we as husbands do, amen? Hey, how about those kids? "Well, Mingy, I can't believe your boys are grown and gone." You're loving it, aren't you? But can you believe? I mean, it's just like yesterday they were there. Just like yesterday there in the home. I tell you what Dad meant for me, starting at 4 years of age, Little League. I'd go over to that park next door and we'd put the ball on the tee, and I'd watch Tim play ball, and now the city gave us the park. And starting this March 1st, it's our Little League. Praise God for that. And when I say it's the park, it's their property still, but we just get all the fields and we get the snack shop and we get all the, it's just an amazing what God did there. And now my grandson is going to play on the same home plate that my son played on. Hey, I want to tell you something. It was such a privilege being a dad. And I'm still a dad. But it was a privilege having those kids. I never felt like our family devotions were any good. I tried, you know, teaching the book of Proverbs and teaching Psalms and singing hymns and all these things. And I tried, you know, make it about 10 minutes or so. And I did that. There, once in a while, we hit a home run. It sounded like it was good. But most of the time, I thought it was so terrible. I said that recently to my kid. I was preaching. My kids all came up to me and said, "Dad, I wish you wouldn't talk like that. Some of the greatest memories we have was you and Mom reading us the Bible and singing together." You know, my dad, bless his heart, my mother and dad would have dinner. He'd let me go outside in the street to play ball for a few moments. Then my dad would holler out, "Son, Jack, come on in." It's time for devotions. Ah. Guys would say, what? What do you call that? I said, commotions. It's something my mom and dad like to do. I can't tell you of one devotion time I enjoyed then. But you ever hear the song Precious Memories? They're all precious memories now. I can hear when my dad would call my mother to pray. I swung by their house and they moved from our church after 33 years, me and their pastor. And they moved by my sister a couple hundred miles away and she's caring for them now. And I stayed over the night. I was down there preaching. I stayed overnight at their house. The next morning, my dad said, now before you leave, we want to read the Bible and pray together. And then my mother prayed. And it was deja vu, just hearing her sweet little voice pray. Precious memories. I tell you what, I got the name Dad, and I chose it. By the grace of God, I'm not going to be a deadbeat. My wife chose the name wife and mother. Thank God she's been the best. Hey, I want to tell you something. God gave me the name Papa. How many grandpas here? How many papas are here? Are you, Brother Four, a papa? It's the best, isn't it? How many grandpas, again, they call you grandpa? I thought about first having them call me uncle. I thought maybe that would be a little younger. I thought about brother, Brother Treber or something like that. Oh, I love that name, Papa. Those five little kids now, two more on the way. Did I tell you I'm going to be a grandpa two more times, Papa? I did. I've got to get done here. What a joy it is to be a Papa. But you know what? That comes responsibility. I pray for them every day. I stopped by and saw Tabitha the other day, this week. Oh, her one little boy. He's not saved. And I don't even know, quite frankly, when he gets saved, if it's going to change a lot. He's so full of the devil. He's so amazing. His name is Riley. I remember when he was born, he wasn't supposed to live. I seen all those wires to his head and his neck and his body. Oh, we prayed for him. He is the sweetest little guy. He'll run to me every Sunday. Papa! So sweet. Then he'll turn on a dime. He'll get as mean as the devil. I was talking to Tabitha. The boys were playing. She and I were on the couch. We were talking. She said, Dad, I pray every day for his spirit. And we pray together, he and I, for his spirit. And I said, honey, when he gets saved, a lot of that's going to change. A lot of it will change. But I said, it's going to be up to you as a mother to guide that spirit, not defeat it, because that's some energy. That's the Apostle Paul was this, and it got redirected to this. I said, he's such a sweet guy. She said, thank you for telling me that, Dad. That sort of encourages me. She loves him so much. But mother and dad, when you got a little guy that won't behave, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? See, I'm sitting next to one right now. Hey, we want your name. I know I'm out of time, so I'll wrap it up. I want the name Open Door Baptist Church. I want that name. I want the name Calvary Baptist Church. I want the name North. In other words, I'm saying whatever your church name. I want the name Faith Baptist. Let me tell you something. With that name comes some responsibility. I tell you whatever your church name is, I tell you what the responsibility is. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store with God as prosper. Tithing. These are economic difficult times, but not if every Christian would tithe. Every Christian would tithe. And give offering to worldwide missions and to whatever program. That'd be nice. Say, I'm not going back to that church. That pastor talks about money all the time. One thing we wouldn't have to if we'd say, every one of God's people tithe, we'd have to maybe say, you bring too much, like they did in the book of Exodus. Money, 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 money. That's part of the name. Coming to church on a Wednesday night or Thursday night, as the case is, that's part of the name. Right? We're just not Sunday school or Sunday morning. That's it for the week, and then we're out. No, that's part of the name, being part of your church name, whatever it may be. I'm saying there's responsibility with the name. We have a Christian school. Oh, I want my kid in that school. Why? Because now after 31 years of the school, we've had the school for 31 years. It's just produced so many godly people and wonderful people, whether in the full-time ministry or whether business people in our church or deacons in my church now after 31 years. It's just an amazing thing. How? We want that school. Okay, with that school, with our school, here's what it means. You don't go to the movies. It's woo. We've got a whole bunch of rules that we say to the parents, here's the rules. And I know it might be coming a little harsh. I don't mean to. But there's some rules to be part of the school. You're not going to the rock concert. There's some rules. Why? Because if you're going to be a student, and by the way, you don't say, well, then don't send your kid to West Point either. There's rules there. There's rules. I can remember I was an assistant pastor. And I can remember 34 years ago this week, I preached my first message at North Valley Baptist Church. It was 6 months old. I'd been an assistant pastor for 4 years, and I felt like God wanted me to preach, and I knew I wasn't capable. I didn't study to be a preacher. I was too afraid. I have a degree in Bible college, but I couldn't be a preacher. I'd get so red-faced. I'd break out in sweat. I'd stutter. I'd read a verse, and I'd bring the word up from the bottom up into the, up top here in reverse words. I thought, I can't. I get so nervous, stutter and stammer. And yet God kept saying, son, I want you to do it. I said, I can't, God. I don't want to rebel. I'll be an assistant pastor, do all these other things, but I can't be a pastor. And I remember saying yes to God, and then I remember this church in Colorado and this church in Northern California, 9 members, 13 members, they called us. They said, you have to live in the church nursery. We can't pay you. My wife said, I'll go with you. And then they called back and said, we found out you're too young and you have no experience. I said, hey, I've preached 3 times in my life. Once was on the radio. Nobody saw me, but I preached. They said, we want a more seasoned man. And then a little church called North Valley Baptist Church. It was 6 months old, my church where I'm at now for 34 years. They called, and I said, I want to tell you something, Brother Brownlee. He is with the Lord now. I said, Brother Ed, I'm a young man, and I've only preached 3 times. And I'm shy, and I'm backward. He said, Brother Treber, if you're God's man, we want you. And on one Sunday, this Sunday coming up, 2 Sundays coming up, I preach from Acts 12, John 3:16, and Ephesians 6 3 times in one day. I had equaled my other preaching. And I said, Lord, I don't know if this church will ever call me, but if you would put me in the ministry, I'll preach. I love it. And on March the 1st, I began pastoring that church. Let me tell you something. I chose because of God's call in my life the name pastor. That has responsibility. I've chosen so many names through the years. I chose the name. I said, Lord, I want our church and at least to be 2,000 or more people. I want to be a certain age before we start a college. And we were running more than 2,000, and I was beyond the certain age, I thought. And God gave us a privilege 13 years ago to begin a college. I'm telling you something. I chose that name. I can hardly preach to those kids without weeping. I preached there yesterday about Elijah and Elisha to pass the mantle and pass your spirit and pass your heart to another. And I'm telling you something, those kids are so great. I love it. I can hardly wait. Wednesday is such a... I'll close my Bible to give you hope. Wednesday is such a good day. I run over to the other property. I preach elementary chapel. Oh, oh, oh. Man, I love it. We sing those little Christian songs. How many teeth we lost this week, we're keeping track. And the birthday kids, it's such a big thing. And I'll ask the kids, I'll ask this little kid, not every week, I'll say, now, was your mother there when you were born? And I've had a few kids say, no, she wasn't there. Well, where was she? She was at another hospital. There's a nutty kid right there, let me tell you something. He's got problems. And then we sing those great hymns like, who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me? Well, we do sing that. M-I-C-K. We sang that yesterday. Those kids, and we sing Ferris, Lord Jesus. I love it. I chose it. And then I run upstairs, the chapel upstairs, those high school kids, they're so good to me. You see, and I'm not degrading myself, but I got these wrinkles down, these bald head, and I don't think I relate to teenagers, but they do know I love them. They're so good to me. They're so good to me. And I come over to the proper and I go to the college. And then after college chapel, I go teach a class. And then I have a nervous breakdown in the afternoon. You know what? Don't feel sorry for me. I chose it. I chose it. I chose that. We want your name. With the name comes responsibility. You fill in the blank. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, there's some children here. They have not chosen the name children, but they have been